Missionary Vonda, I want you to stand by, because I want you to do our opening prayer, if you don't mind. Amen. We thank God for those on the line. We thank God for the podcast listeners that are all over the country. We thank God for you joining in at this time. To Red Blum Fox podcast listeners, we thank God for you. California, Texas, Ohio, Virginia, the Philippines, Germany. We thank God, and we want you to know, we know that you are listening. We know that you are listening. And we thank God. Oh, we got new joiners that joined too. New Jersey and Illinois has joined us on this week. And we are so blessed and highly favored to have you on the line during the pandemic. And we thank God for you. Continue to listen. We pray for you, and we thank you for being a listener. Vonda, would you open us up in prayer? We thank God for all those that paid tithes and offering, gave a seed. We ask that you continually to tithe those that are tithing and those that are not to tithe. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank God. We thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you how you have blessed us to give. God, we ask that you bless the tithe payers under your word. And God, we ask that you bless those that gave an offering. God, we ask that you bless those that didn't have to give to have next time to give. We ask that you bless those that gave seed. God, bless each and every member, one by one, name by name. God, give them tithes and offering that they can bring to your house. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we turn in the hands of our missionary Landingham, who is our main speaker. Missionary Landingham is in your hands.
Thank you for listening to the Red Blonde Fox podcast. We are going to take a brief break, but we will be right back.
All right. God bless everyone. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your outstretched hand. We thank you for your arm of protection. We thank you for being with us and caring for us and providing for us, Lord. We thank you for the message and the themes that you send through our lessons to give us instruction on how we should move around and what we should do on this earth. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you infuse this word today. Infuse the word, Father, like never before. And open up our hearts and our mind. Open up our understanding that we will understand what you're saying and that we will obey your word so that we can see your power manifest. We need you now more than ever before, Lord. And we need your power to move. So we're asking that you open up the hearts and touch the hearts and decrease Rochelle and increase the Holy Spirit right now, Father, so that your word will go forth and that everyone will understand what you're trying to tell us. And we'll always be careful to give you the glory and honor and praise that's due to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. 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 I am so glad to be in your midst once again. Here at Jesus is the Way. This is our morning service on October the 11th, 2020. And I have the pastor has asked me to bring the message now every second and fourth Sunday. And so that's why I am on the second Sunday. And I thank all of the people that are watching me here on Facebook Live. Thank you so much for joining us and partaking in our morning sermon. I pray that God will bless you through the scriptures that he has given me to be able to bless your lives and give you instructions on how we should move around in these most perilous and crazy times that we are living in. thank the Lord for being able to be in front of you today. And I'm going to continue through Jesus the Way. Had a wonderful Sunday school this morning. And I think my theme actually hits what we've been talking about and what our first speaker talked about earlier. And what that is talking about how the enemy is trying to thwart our ability to let our light shine. And so the Lord has given me some instruction. Can you take a break? The Lord has given me some instruction to give us. And it's coming out of 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 2. And it reads as follows. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but by willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and that's when Jesus comes back for us, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, or your enemy, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that was 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm so sorry. That's 1 Peter, yes, chapter 5, verses 2 through 14. And the topic that I want to talk about, or my theme, if I would give it this morning, it would be Satan's strategy, but God's remedy. Amen. He's telling us today, and our further conversation was pretty much about how we display ourselves in the world as Christians. Those of us that know the Lord, and those of us that carry his precious prize, which is his spirit inside of us, we are the lights of the world, as you all know that. We light up the world. People that are in darkness that don't know God, they can't find their way. And I say that all the time. So we are the light. But our light can be diminished by our actions. And our goal, our main goal, is to help someone see the light and come out of darkness. Amen? That's our main goal. So we need to look at ourselves in order to be able to display what God needs us to display in the time of need, especially when we're dealing with people in the world. Okay, but how do we do that? Well, we talked about that earlier, and what we concluded was that we need more of God's Spirit. And it's there for the asking and the taking. He says, you receive not because you ask not. Or if you ask, you ask in vain. So what do we really, really need in order to be effective and to help someone in their plight in the world through the spirit that we have? Well, we determined, and of course, according to the words, we need more of God. And sometimes we get a little mixed up. Sometimes we think that we have to do all of these things to be impressive to someone else in Christ. But that's where we get the situation messed up, because we cannot do anything in our own strength and our own power. The only thing we can do is control our flesh. That's what we can do. Because a lot of times we operate and we move in flesh, even under the guise of being in a church, and we don't understand why there is no power displayed or manifest as to what we need. We pray for people to get well from being sick. We pray for a new job. We pray for a new place to live. But nothing ever seems to happen. And I would like to challenge us today to say, what are you doing for God? Are you doing this out of your own strength? Or are you allowing the Lord to infuse you with the Spirit so that He can use the Spirit, the strength of His Spirit, to do what we need to do? Well, let's look at what the Word says. This Word was actually written in the beginning by Peter speaking to people that have flocks. And we know that those are the pastors or the overseers or the watchmen on the wall at our churches. And he says, "See the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." What does that mean? Well, don't do it because you feel like you just have to do it, but do it because you want to help. Do it because you want to help growth in your folks that come to your church. You want them to understand how the Spirit works in their lives as well. And you want that power to be manifest in them at the due time. He says, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So what he's saying there is, don't let money be your guide. Filthy lucre is money. And you know, sometimes money will change the perspective of a lot of things. And a lot of other things like greed, lust, gluttony, things of that sort. And now all of those are fleshly situations, amen? Amen. So they're all fleshly situations, which means that your self or your flesh is in control of you and not the Spirit. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. We are the first picture of God and His manifestation and what He has done in our lives to anybody. So we have to realize, as we said earlier, that people are watching you. We are living in perilous times, saints. We are living in really... But you know what? This is just the beginning of what it's going to be like. That's what the Word tells us. So now is the time that we have to get strong in Christ in order to let the Spirit flow. He goes on to say that, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd is Jesus Christ Himself. And we are in preparation right now for that time when He finally does come to get us. But until then, we have a lot of work to do. And we have a lot of work to do, not for other folks, but for ourselves. We have to work on ourselves and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we, as you all know, we can't do anything. We can't even take a breath on our own. The breath that we breathe back and forth, saints, is the breath from God that he breathed into Adam's nostrils to give him life. And when we were born, we breathed in God's air and His breath in order to become a living being. And now we depend on God every single moment of our lives as we take our breaths to keep going. So that should let us know that we really don't have power to do anything within ourselves, because we can't even keep ourselves alive. We're depending on God to give us that breath. We're depending on God every day to keep us alive. So when we put that in perspective, then we realize that we got a lot of work to do with God in order to be able to carry his precious spirit to show the world the light to get him out of darkness. So he goes on to say, likewise, ye younger, all of you be subject. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's what he says. We all can learn from each other. But you know what? It's when we get to senior ages that we start realizing the wisdom that we have encompassed along our walk through this journey on earth. That's when you look back and you see the wisdom of what God has given you through the trials and the tribulations and the good and bad times that you went through on your walk throughout this world. When you're young, you got lots of strength, you got lots of vitality, you want to take the world by the feet and by storm and go and get it. But the one thing that is really missing are the experiences that you need to experience through your teens and your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s to get to be a senior to realize those experiences. So we need each other. And you should look to people that have been through what you're going through to be able to help you. And the people that have that wisdom can still learn from a younger person, because the world turns around 24/7 every single second. So that means things that we once knew and things that we once understood is now overtaken and turned to a different type of situation. And I'll give you an example. You know how there used to be things that we would say like, man, that's really, really nice, or that's really, really good. Well, in my era, we would say, man, that's bad. That's really, really bad. I think that is the best thing since sliced bread, but it's bad. It was slang that we used, and when we said bad, we meant it for good. But in 2020, if we say, man, that's really bad, these young people ain't going to understand what we're saying. They're going to say, well, you said it's bad, but you acting like it's good. Because times have changed. So there's always learning, what I'm trying to show you, that should go on. The young people should learn from the elders through their experiences, and the elders should learn from the young people through the new experiences that they're having. The word tells us that there's nothing new under the sun, and there's nothing really new under the sun. It's just those that are learning it and what that time and place is putting on it for it to be that, if you understand what I'm saying. So, in essence, he's saying, love each other and learn from each other. Learn ways, especially in Christendom, because the ways are going to start to get even a little bit harder. And if we just go on our strength, we're not going to be able to handle it, because our strength can't handle anything. We need God's strength to be able to handle some of the things that are coming forth to us.
Thank you for listening to the Red Blonde Fox podcast. We are going to take a brief break, but we will be right back.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to your elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Okay, this is something that I want to talk about for a minute, because humbleness is not weakness. Humbleness shows your strength. God doesn't like a braggart, somebody that brags about everything all the time, where they've been, what they've done, who they got, how many children they had, what their children have done, how good they are, how wonderful they are. I know you know people like that. I do. And it's not really pretty, because bragging stinks in God's nostrils. If you're to brag on anything, you're supposed to brag on what he's done for you and how his strength has kept you and how his strength has opened good doors for you or closed bad doors for you. But we on any of our accomplishments. We really shouldn't, because that means that you're trying to puff your own self up. And God wants you in due time to be exalted, but you have to humble yourself. So that's something that we really need to look upon and to check. God, am I a little bit too much? Am I talking a little bit too much? Am I talking about what I've done and my accomplishments too much, and not really talking about what you have done for me? That's a way that we can check to see where we are in our relationship with God. Because the word tells us he don't like a proud heart. That's one of the seven deadly sins too. He don't like a proud heart. He likes a humble heart, because he says right here in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God is your entire life. It's your entire being. It's everything that you have. So at this point, think about how you go about life and how you talk to people. Are you one of those braggarts? Do you lift yourself up a lot? Do you make others feel low and not important because of what you're bragging about yourself? Do you make other people feel like they're beneath you? That's one thing God is saying, check if you are doing that. Check it. Check it. Because he doesn't like it. And you're only fooling yourself if you think that you're in good graces. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So that means that you are going to be exalted. You are going to get everything that God has promised to you. But it's not in your time. See, a lot of times we want things quick, fast, in a hurry. Or we want it to happen right away. Or if we've gotten into a rumble and somebody has hurt us or bruised our heart, we want God to get them. All of that is incorrect thinking. It's incorrect thinking. What you should do is humble yourself and go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what happened to me and I'm really hurt about it. And I want you to guide my steps, Father, so that I can see how this needs to be rectified. And mend my bruised heart or my bruised feelings, and allow the situation to come under your subjection. And if we humble ourselves and say things like that to God, he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out, and it's going to be okay. But it starts with us. It starts with us. We can't be the end all and be all to life, because you know what? Other people know it too. Other people have been there too. But we're here to help folks find God. So we have to be a picture of something that you don't always see every day. How do you act? Let me ask you this, because this happens to me all the time. And I have to really cry out to God to help me with this sometimes. I don't like being disrespected. And I don't like people, you know, talking down to me. But the Lord showed me how that's my flesh. That's my flesh. And so when I go to, say, buy something or through a drive-thru or whatever, when people treat you bad, it really makes you mad. It used to make me mad. It really did. Because I would be saying, like, why am I giving my money to somebody who's treating me bad? I don't need to do that. But the Lord showed me that if I humble myself, and I show God's love, and instead of getting upset when I get disrespected, give him a smile, and God loves you, and he's going to help you with that, or, you know, something like that, or he's going to be able to bless you as well, because he's a good God like that. I find that it helps. It helps. And you don't fall off into the trap that the devil has made for you by falling in and snapping out with that person and cussing them out or whatever. It gives you a way of escape out of that situation, being more like God. But you know what it takes? It takes a really steady and determined mind to do that. It takes a steady and determined mind to bring bring yourself under subjection under the mighty hand of God. And that's the fight, saints. That's the fight that we have all the time. Are we going to let our flesh win, or are we going to let God win? And letting our flesh win means we keep our hand on the steering wheel, because we driving this car. We driving this truck. We driving this thing. And we'll continue to drive into brick walls and fall off of cliffs and down in pit holes until we realize that we got to let God drive. We got to let him drive. We got to take our hands off of it. We got to let him drive. Sometimes it hurts because we really, truly want to tell that person how we feel. We really do. But God says, let me handle it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not yours. It's not yours. Don't even take it in your hand. You shouldn't even be thinking about that. What you should be doing is running to me and telling me about it. Because I'm the one that can take care of it. That's what God is saying. Don't go out off and willy-nilly, you know, just willy-nilly, just going to do your own thing. That's how people get killed. That's how people get shot. That's why we are killing each other in our race every day. Because of a lack of self-control, a lack of controlling our flesh, a lack of knowing who God is. And once we do get to know God is, not getting close to him. We have to make a conscious effort, saints, especially in these days and times. 2020, 2022, 24, 26, 28, it ain't gonna get no better. It's not gonna get better. If you read the word and you believe the word, then you're gonna know it. But see, that's what I'm saying. Read and understand and get close to God so that you can be in that position with him. So when things get to going awry, you got the help and the strength, and most importantly, the power of God. Because his power will rectify that, not your power. Your power, you can't do nothing in your power. You know, you really can't. We really can't even control ourselves without the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, we need the Holy Ghost. And we have the Holy Ghost, but in a lot of us, the Holy Ghost is dormant. Let's just be honest. It's dormant. Ain't no power moving. On our street alone here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Center Street, there's got to be at least, and I'm being very, very conservative, it's got to be at least 20 churches from 27th Street to 6th Street. 20 churches at least. But the same old thing is happening in our neighborhood every single day. People are getting shot. Kids are getting shot, run over. Things are happening. We see those. We see the memorials on fences, on trees, you know, on the ground where the loved one had passed or got killed. Where's the power? 20 churches. We band together. Where's the power? We don't see the power. We don't, because it keeps happening. It keeps happening. So that tells me that the power is not moving. Not that the power is not here, but the power is not moving to heal our land. And then I got to go back to, as I did in Sunday school, the Second Chronicles. We all know it off by heart, most of us. But you know what it says? If my people that were called by my name who hear his voice, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, which are called by not my name, if you say that you're a Christian and you know Jesus Christ and you're in his, you know, he's your Savior, then you have God's name. You have God's name. Shall humble themselves. We just talked about that. Humble yourself. And what does that mean? Bring yourself under subjection to God Almighty. There's been some things that he has told you, saints, and Facebook land. There's some things that God has been pressing on you. That spirit has been weighing on you, and you've been running from it. He told you to do things. Your gut, that's God. Okay? Let's just make it plain. That's God. He's telling you what you should do. He's told you if you were wrong, you were wrong. You need to go back to them and you need to straighten that out. Because you were actually wrong. But you know what we do in our flesh? What we do as humans? They deserve that, Lord. They deserve that. Because they knew that that would push my button. And they know how I am. And so they deserve that great cuss out they got. But is that God's way? No. It's not God's way. And so you don't see the power because you don't humble yourself to what he's asked you to do. He says, humble yourself, meaning take yourself down. Come on down a couple notches. I know you think you all that in a bag of chips. And I know you think you this, that, and other because you got all them degrees sitting in front of you. And I know you think this, that, and the other because you've done this and you've been able to accomplish that. And blah, blah, blah. But it means absolutely nothing in God's world if you can't do what he tells you to do. That might mean something in the natural world that we living in where the enemy rules the world. So it probably means something, you know, for that. But in God's kingdom, that don't mean nothing. What means something is if you can hear what he's telling you to do and you do it. That's called obedience. And the Bible says that obedience is better than a sacrifice. So you sacrificing and you doing this, that, and the other, and all of this under the name of God, and you cannot obey his word, or you cannot obey the command that he's given you, then it's all not. So he's like, humble yourself, get it together, realize who you really are, and who I am in your life, okay, that's one thing you need to do. He says, and pray, and seek my face. Well, that's where we are in Peter. We got to seek his face. What does seek his face means? We got to be real with ourselves. That 5-minute quick, fast, and a hurry prayer is not getting it. Because you know what? You haven't even touched the surface of where he is many times. Now, yeah, sometimes we need that quick, fast, and a hurry prayer. I'm not discounting it. But I'm saying in order to get into the secret caverns and the secret places and unfold the jewels that he really has for you, you've got to dig in. You've got to dig in and you've got to uncover and you've got to research and you've got to look again to see what the answers are. He says, seek and ye shall find. But you got to seek. You got to seek. If you read the word on the surface, then you're just a surface person. You've got to dig down in this to find the jewels. You've got to dig down in it. Kind of like the Super Mario game. Remember that? I always talk about that because that's the only one I knew how to play when my kids was growing up. But there were jewels in the air that you had to jump up and get. Well, that's how this word is. You can read it on the surface and get what he's saying. But can you get deep down in there and see what that word really means and what he's really saying? Because God is just not going to let his beautiful pearls lay out there for anybody to trample on. If you really, really want to know him, you're going to dig deep. So he's saying, pray to me. Meditate. Stop all of the chatter in your mind. Stop all of that that's going on, because there's a lot of chatter going on right now in your mind. I'm starting to hear people not being able to sleep and all of this stuff. You've got to stop that, because that's the enemy. That's the enemy. If you can't stop that stuff going through your mind, learn how to meditate. Learn how to get to God. He will help you to control that and keep your mental health together. But he's saying, pray and seek my face. That's another thing you got to do. You got to humble yourself. You got to pray and seek his face. And he goes on and he says, and this is the hardest one. This is the hardest one, y'all. And turn from their wicked ways. So he's saying that the church folks got wicked ways. The church folks got wicked ways. Wicked ways. Wicked ways. Wicked ways. Now, of course, they won't be overt, meaning that you can see them right in front. Nobody's just going to come up to me and just stab me in the back with a real knife. But they can stab me in the back with their mouth and their tongue. They can tear down my character. They can tell lies on me. evil way. That's an evil way. Okay, we're not going to do nothing as overt as murder something, somebody, or outright, you know, steal. You know, we're not going to be that stupid to go in a store and just steal something. But we can see a man we like that we know is somebody's husband. And we can start flirting with that person and keep that thing going on until now I got a thing with him. Huh. That's a wicked way. And that's stealing. You see what I'm saying? We got to really think about this thing. We got to think about this thing. We are not perfect shining spirits. We're just not. We won't be until he comes back. We've got to continue to work on ourselves and turn from the wicked ways. Wicked way is, let's think about our kids. We go to church when we used to go to church, you know, in the olden days. Now we're in the new days. But in olden days, when we go to church, to the church building, we would have on our most saintly look and saintly dress, and oh, we just love God and blah blah blah. But talk to that little baby that went with you when you get home. What's the little boy gonna say? What's the little girl gonna say about Nana or about Mama when they got home? Did they start cussing me out at the door? Did they take off their garb and then turn into who they really are? Wicked ways. Wicked ways. Acknowledge them and put them under the blood. That's what God is telling us to do. He says, turn from your wicked ways. He says, humble yourself, pray, and turn from your wicked ways. And then what did he say? Then will I hear from heaven. Then I'll open up my ear. I'll open up my ear when I see all of the requirements have been satisfied. I'm going to open up my ear, and I'm going to hear from heaven. They will hear from me, and I will forgive their sin. He will forgive us and cleanse us, and I will heal their land. That's what the little peanuts thing was saying. We're praying for God to heal our land, but we're totally ignoring all the other things that we got to do. That we got to do to get next to him. He goes on to tell us, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's not just the cares that you have right now. He says, cast all of your cares on him, because he cares for you. He wants you to. He wants you to come and say, help me with this, Lord. Help me with that. Help me understand this. Give me the strength and the power to be able to do. Open up that door so this can happen, Lord, because I need this. He cares for what's going on with us. So we need to give that back to him. He says, be sober and vigilant. And this is so very important. Sober and vigilant means have a clear mind and be purposeful, okay? Now, sober can mean don't be drinking and smoking. We know that. We know that. But we're supposed to be saints, so, you know, I don't even need to go there. But if you don't have a clear mind, you can't do nothing. Clear your mind, because when your mind is jumbled up with artificial substances or stimulants, or if your mind is full of the chatter of the week that you can't stop going for, or the fear of whatever you're going through, or the worry of whatever you're going through, the enemy has you, and he will work you over with your mind because you're allowing all of that stuff to go through. But he's saying, be sober and vigilant. So clear your mind up. Have a sober mind. Be straight forth, clear-minded. I can see where I'm going. I'm not deterred by anything this way, and I see the tricks of the enemy. So I'm going to walk straight with strength and not do what he tells me to do, but I'm going to be leaning on God, and I'm going to ask God to help and guide me. He says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who is your enemy, there is no ifs, ands, and buts about it, he's your enemy. You cannot play with the enemy. You cannot sleep with the enemy. You cannot entertain the enemy. Expect that you're going to have a free, clear channel to God. Can't do it. You got to put him under control. Put him in subjection. We have power over that. He's not the one to be scared of. God gave us power. He says that if we resist the devil, he will flee. But you gotta resist him. You gotta resist him. Don't let him control your life. Don't let him control your life. You can always have a choice. You can always say no if necessary. You can always stand up when you need to. You can do it with the strength of the Lord. You can't do it without the strength of the Lord, but you can do it with the strength of the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to the Lord to get the strength to be able to see the power manifest. Your devil, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's just looking for a chance. He's just looking for a chance. He's looking for somebody that is not wrapped up in God. Somebody that doesn't have the love of God in their heart. Somebody that's not on God's side that he can use and destroy and kill. He's looking for that. And that's why we have the strife that we have in our streets right now. Because he's looking. He's out there. And he's going to stimulate whoever he has to make somebody have some heartache. So there's no way we need to be in that camp. We need to be in God's camp. Seeking whom he may devour, who resisteth steadfast in the faith. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith. If you resist the devil, he will flee. And you have to be wise. Because you have to know not to go up on that bridge where he is. And God gives us many clues and signs and warnings way back here as we're walking to the bridge. What is the bridge? The bridge is that man that wants you to come over for, you know, that 2 o'clock call, you know. Come over and let's have some fun. That's the bridge. Or something doing that you shouldn't do. You know, this is not yours for the taking. You have no authority over it, but you want to go and abuse it and use it anyway. That's the bridge. And sometimes we walk towards that bridge because it's called temptation. We're being tempted. But God is saying resist. Even though your flesh is feeling good and excited and happy and can't wait to get there, realize that that's the enemy that's going to eat you up. You can't make that decision as you're going up the steps of the bridge. Because by the time you get to the steps of the bridge, it's all over. It's all over. You're going in the door, and then you're fooling yourself with a false sense of security that I'm just going to give a Bible scripture. I'm just going to talk about the Lord. Okay. You're on that bridge, and the deed is now done. Now you're upset because you've been plagued by the enemy one time again, been plagued by him. And now you're feeling really sad because you don't think like you can get to the Lord because you totally ignored him on the whole walk up to the bridge. But God loves you anyway. And he's saying, I love you. Repent. Get up. Shake yourself off. And let's keep going. Let's keep going. So the moral of the story is Satan's strategy for us, God's remedy is him. God is saying, come on closer, come on closer, come on closer, come on closer. You can't get too close. Because the more closer you get, the deeper you're going to go. The more levels you obtain. And just think about all of those jewels and prizes and things that we have not even seen in God yet. That's just there waiting for us if we obey what he tells us to do. Don't get to the judgment seat of Christ and be really sad, because he's going to show you your whole life, and he's going to show you everything that you did, and he's going to show you your good accomplishments and your bad. But the thing that's going to hurt us is that he's going to show us what we could have had that we missed out on because we weren't obedient. That's the thing that's going to hurt us. What we could have did that we didn't, we chose not to because we was listening to the enemy. These are trying times, and we gotta let our light shine, and we can't do it unless we get past all of this stuff. Last but not least, he says, "But the God of all grace." Oh, wait, let me go back to 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So if everybody's going through this, no man is an island. We all have to walk through this way. You know, I was looking at what Solomon was saying back in Ecclesiastes about how we got it all mixed up. How we celebrate births when babies are born, and we mourn deaths when people die. But according to Solomon, we got that mixed up. We're supposed to mourn when the baby is born because he's got to come through this world. He's got to come through this wayward place as a pilgrim, as a stranger, walking through for however many years the Lord gave him here in this world. And when he dies, he got glory. So we should be celebrating and having ecstatic fun at death, because now they're released from the world. But the enemy got us mixed up. It's a lot of things that I'm starting to find out, saints, through my study, that we've had mixed up. And I challenge you to start reading and start get up on this train with us and start reading and asking questions and really trying to strive to see what it's about, because your eyes will really, really, really be open. It's such a good thing. Lastly, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. When we learned of Christ, when we accepted him into our heart, when we realized that we needed him, that's when we were called to glory. We're going to see glory. We're going to see glory. But how are we going to get there through this world? Stumbling and bumbling as we've been doing? Or are we going to get closer to Christ? Because when we need him the most, because there's going to be a time, we're going to need him. We're going to need him. We ain't taking that mark. Nobody taking the mark of the beast. So how are we going to eat? How are we going to, you know, how are we going to live? Well, we got to be close to God, because it's going to be God telling us what we need. Go down to that little church called Jesus is the Way on 20th and Center, and they got food baskets for you. Or go around the corner and there's some water bottles there. He's going to be able to guide us. But if we ain't in tune with him, we ain't going to hear the instruction. Let's hear the instruction, saints. Let's get on board here. It's time. It's so time. It is so time. He ends up and says, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Well, the ye have suffering a while is our walk through this world. That's our ye have suffered a while. Because we're walking through this world. We're walking from our birth to our teens, to our 20s, to our 40s, to our 60s. We're walking through this world. After that, we have suffered a while. Make you, and this walk that you're walking with, this learning that you're learning right now, will make you perfect, established, and strengthened, and will settle you. So you're walking on a path to be able to have total peace in this world. But remember, God has told us today that we got to humble ourselves. We've got to seek his face by praying and fasting and digging into the word. And we have to turn from our evil ways. And if you don't think you have any evil ways, you're mistaken, because the word is saying that you need to turn from them, so you have some. Ask God to reveal them to you. Sometimes we can't see them. Sometimes we don't even know that we're being evil. I don't know. I think we kind of sometimes do know, but, you know, we justify it. Let God magnify that in your lives, and you handle that. Handle that thing. Because we need power. I know we need it on power to be able to deal with the enemy has on them streets. God bless you all. I thank you for listening to me. This was the Satan's strategy and God's remedy coming out of 1 Peter 5, 2 through 11. That's what the Lord has given me today. And I thank you all for listening. I hope that it got to your hearts, made you start thinking, and do some of those things. Do some of those things so that the next time we get together, we can talk about the power of God and what we saw God do. God bless you all. And God bless you. Thank you, everybody from Facebook land. I see Frankie, my brother. God bless you. My dear friend Linda, thank you so much. Thank you all for everything that you've said and you've done and for listening up to us today. God bless you.
Amen.
And that's it, you guys. God bless you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. I think we got the announcements. We thank the Lord for the early word. It was good. And the lunch, we had breakfast and lunch, and they both were good. We thank God. We thank God for the podcast listeners. As we close, we praying for the podcast listeners. We praying for Jesus the way. And in the midst of a pandemic, we moving forward toward the mark, the prize of the high calling. And we thank God. Remember the announcements concerning Missionary Davis. We need you. And God will do the rest. We are family, and we act like one. We're all getting here together and make this thing work. All right. Everybody have a blessed day. We're looking for those on the line for prayer Thursday, 4:30, as we continue on. And those, we'll see you next week. You got an announcement, Yolanda? All right. We love you. All right. All right. God bless everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Pastor.
How y'all doing?
Pastor.
Yeah.
Hi.
We're getting ready to go to the end. All right.
Remember my son on the highway.
Okay.
Because he's traveling. He's leaving here.
Okay. Well, we're going.
All right.
We're getting ready to do our closing prayer.
All right. Thank you.
We'll add him to the old gracious eternal God. We thank you. What our ears have heard, our heart have received. We thank you for such a great word today, God. We thank you just for being in your presence, God. For being in your presence. We love to be in your presence, God. And we thank you for allowing us to come in your presence. God, now we pray for Vanetta's son. We pray, God, that you bless him as he traveled on the highways and byways. Rebuke accidents, flats, and car problems. God, we ask that you keep him on the road. Keep the other driver on the road. We ask that you keep our son alert. Oh, God, keep the other driver alert.
Yes.
Bless him as he travel, God. Don't let him get stopped for nothing unless it just be for his own good.
Yes.
And, God, we pray for, also, God, we pray for Vonda and we pray for Tony for their recovery, God, of the virus. We thank God. We thank you, God, that you're bringing them through, God. We ask that you would bring them all the way through, God, where there be no more virus in their body. And we thank you for keeping them, God, in the palm of your hand. Oh, God, we ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Everyone on the line, as we go throughout our day, bless us one by one, name by name. Jesus is the way. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We out.